Welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
It's the radio.
It is the radio. It is a show on the radio, Alice.
Wow.
It is, yes. And I'm your other host, Megan.
The radio?
The radio.
Oh, wow.
And on this show, we talk about video games because we like video games and we play a lot of video games.
Or at least try to.
We try to. Yeah, okay. Sometimes there's slower periods than others.
Megan beat a game, though. Remember how I was ragging on Megan last time for not beating any games ever?
I did beat a game.
Megan proved me wrong.
I did prove you wrong.
Within the span of a very short period.
In 2 days.
I'm very proud of you.
Well, actually, the game was only, like, what, 2 hours? Two and a half hours?
I did, like, it was a three-hour game at least.
Yeah. So we ended up downloading Bulb Boy on the Switch.
Which came out in what, 2015, 16?
2015 from Bulbworks, a Polish game company.
Much to my surprise, because the subtitle for Bulb Boy is in Japanese, which I assume is just Bulb Boy in Japanese, but...
They did this to you as well with, like, Pikiniku, which is French.
I don't really get this, and I don't want to rag on it too hard because I feel it has little to do with anything, but it does sort of, like... I don't know. No, I don't want to say taint your view of what a game is, but it's weird that they have subtitles like that, or like a literal subtitle, secondary title.
I think part of it is supposed to make you feel like you're playing an old-fashioned game from Japan. Like on the Famicom, or this one, according to the colors, which is predominantly green, a Game Boy game.
That's a very good point. So Bulb Boy is... It's a weird little game. Like, I saw, I guess, trailers sort of for it. Like, I've seen bits and snips, and it was really cheap on the Switch, so I was like, well, I'll get it then. And I thought it was pretty good for the amount. Like, we got it for $2.99, if you really want to know, Canadian, because in Canada, in America or whatever, it's probably cheaper, yeah. Right? That's just how it goes now, because we have a weak dollar. But... Which I, like, it's originally $11.99, which I don't know how much, but I bet you it's even cheaper. Like, I think it's an iPad game as well. Like, I think it's originally maybe that.
So, it was a predominantly a puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's got a very weird art style where I would say it's sort of between Psychonauts, Invader Zim, and Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, it's very cartoony, which
is
great. Like, and that's obviously why I liked it. It was also sort of, to me, however, wherever I saw it, it was put up as a horror game, and I don't want to say it's a horror game because I don't think it is. It definitely is creepy stuff.
Definitely creepy.
It's kind of a grotesque, like, it's a little gross. Like,
it is.
Which is interesting because that's why I also thought, like... It was Japanese because they also have a fascination with some certain, like, gross humor. But maybe the Polish do as well. I don't know. Generalizations. But it was just, it's interesting the stuff that they put in it. But basically, I would assume your name is Bulb Boy.
You are Bulb Boy. You live with your Grandpa Ramfin and your dog, which is Moth Dog.
And you're all, your light bulb. Like, he's a bulb.
Yeah.
Clearly. His head is... His most of him?
Yeah, so pretty much...
He can detach his head.
You can, and you can attach it to other places to investigate and light up.
It's cute.
Your grandpa is an old-fashioned oil lamp.
Yeah, it's cute. I did like that.
And...
You live in a house shaped like a light bulb.
You do, and your dog is also a moth, which is attracted to lights.
Yeah, and can little fly around. It's pretty cute. Like,
so... Yeah. Late one night, you are getting ready for bed, your grandpa is passed out on the couch, and you have to go and turn off the TV.
Get his teeth out,
and go to bed. And when you go to bed, something weird happens where something invades your house and makes it sort of...
Spooky scary.
Spooky scary. And you have to go and figure out, okay, what happened, and I've got to go rescue grandpa, and I've got to go rescue my dog. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's cute. There's a lot of... horror games it reminds me of, but ultimately I think a lot that sets it apart is the fact that it's primarily non-verbal. Like, there's no text in this, right?
Very, very little.
Like, yeah. And, like, it's very, yeah, it's all puzzle-based primarily. Like, even the boss fights are really puzzle
Yeah.
Fights.
So, and this sort of reminds me of Limbo a little bit as well, because if you don't solve the puzzle or have the right timing.
Yeah, you will get squashed. Yeah. Like, it's kind of funny. We were playing with another friend, and every time. So, one thing I did like so about this game, it ties into this, is the sound design. So, whenever Bulb Boy dies, it's usually his head gets squished or breaks or something. And it has the great, like, the bulb, you know, when you snap or where you break a light bulb. Like,
yeah.
Sounds like that every time she jumped. It was great. Because it is kind of a surprising noise for a death. But he's a bulb. It makes perfect sense. I love it.
The light goes out.
Yeah. Oh, dark.
Dark. And you can take over other creatures' bodies depending on the puzzle as well. So you can play as a spider. You get to play as a fish. You get to play as a suit of armor.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. Like, it does, I don't want to say, it escalates pretty good. In the way of what it actually is, because at first it does sort of set it up to be like you're a little kid inside a scary house at night, but then it sort of, like, I guess it quickly devolves into a bunch of stuff where you sort of go into the sewer and there's a cave system and there's spooky scaries, and it's pretty, I like the fact that he did get to go into a fish body, which is very cute.
And Bulb Boy is just as messed up as his world, too. So it's not just some innocent little kid.
Yeah.
He is as messed up as everything else happening.
He's pretty, he's pretty jubilant when he succeeds in murdering things, which is fine.
It's a pretty dark game. It's definitely not something I would give a kid.
I would say it's at least a PG-13 sort of rating. Like, it's a teen game for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, I would assume it's definitely teen. Like, I don't think, because it's on the Apple Store. It's on the iPad. I don't believe Apple allows, like, R-rated material or, like, mature theme stuff. So,
no.
Like, it probably wouldn't be there. They probably dumbed it, or not dumbed it, but, you know, like, lowered the level of grotesqueness for the Apple Store because it is primarily an iPad game. Like, originally that. Then they probably were like, man, everybody's doing the Switch. Let's get over there. And I was like, $2.99, here I am.
And I'm surprised we didn't know more about this game because it went up for a lot of awards as an indie game in 2015.
Yeah, like, it is neat. I wonder if it's just like I ignored all of the iPad games because I never had access to any of them until I did. Or if they were on Steam. And I don't know if Bulb Boy is on Steam. Probably is.
We're reaching about our 2, maybe 3-year anniversary coming up pretty soon on this show.
Oh.
And I have to check when, but before then, we probably didn't concentrate so much on a whole bunch of the strange indie releases that come out.
Well,
it's not something that really went through our scope because it wasn't something we were too concerned about.
Yeah, even just iPad games, I feel, honestly, up until a certain point, they probably didn't have a good amount or, I don't know, not a lot of people had access to iPads. Like, I got an iPad, like, literally last year, so I'm, like, not ahead of the curve at all. But I like video games, and when I found out the iPad does also have video games, I'm like, I'm going to get some video games. Because they're, like, also relatively, like, inexpensive compared to the PlayStation or the Switch.
Yeah.
Like, I do compare because I like the cheapest version. And that's just me. Sometimes I'll get it on different consoles depending what the game is. Like, if it's something I want to play with a friend. But, yeah.
I'm getting real close to buying Night in the Woods for the Switch. I'm just going to point that out.
I know. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well,
I'm getting real close.
So we'll finish on Bulb Boy and then we'll segue into that because you've been playing a bunch of that.
I have.
But yeah, Bulb Boy is really neat. Like, if you have a Switch or iPad or whatever it's on, like, and you're into that sort of genre, like, it is very wacky humor. Like, it does very much remind me of, like, Tiny Toons or, like, Looney Tunes sort of in the humor, but then also gross a little bit, like, grotesque.
It's pretty much the Cartoon Network's Adult Swim of games.
Yeah, that would be, but then also it's PG because they wanted to sell to other people.
Exactly.
You know, so, or that was their vision. I don't know. I'm not going to assume that for them.
So it is a good game. We recommend it. It's not a very long game.
No.
Chip away an evening at it just so you can enjoy the story.
it's pretty good. It's not that hard either. Like it's but it is like nice little puzzles.
Yeah.
It did glitch out on you a couple times though.
Yeah, that was annoying because I thought I wasn't getting the puzzle, and it was just the fact that the game just stopped.
The game was just like, no, we're done now, Megan. And then, but it fixed itself at least relatively easily. Like
when
it
you
wasn't
go back
like
to restart the scene.
Wasn't like Megan could never finish the game because she did.
I did.
And then the other game you've been playing.
I am bound and determined to get through Demon Tower, which is not, well, it is a full game, but it's a game within a game. So speaking of Night in the Woods, which I just mentioned a few moments ago.
Yeah. It's in that game.
it's actually in Night in the Woods, and you find it by going onto May's laptop. Mm-hmm. And it is its own full little game, sort of like a Dark Souls.
Yeah, Angus installs it for you because he's like, it's a fun game. It is very, I don't like it because I'm bad at 2D games. Is this just how, that's untrue, but I'm bad at a lot of games. This one included. I think I've got to the second level, I've never got there.
I'm like, up to level 7. And
which, yeah.
In each level, you gain a stamina point, but you lose a health point.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets progressively harder. And
so permanently. So you have 9 lives, I assume, at first.
You do.
And then you...
Because you're a cat.
You're called Pale Cat is your name, which is... It's cute. It's very pixely. Like, I really like how Demon Tower looks. Like, it's great looking. It plays really fun. It is a fun game. I just don't. I don't want to deal with that.
So each dungeon, after you perish or beat it, is randomly generated. So you're different every time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really follow a pattern here. So
yeah, there is. Well, like you can sort of because you were telling me like the key is always on one side of the room all
that's
the time.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Like even if you die, it'll still be on the same side. It may be a different sort of pathway you take there, but they're sort of all similar. Like, I want to say it's sort of laid out in what, like a 3x3 sort of grid?
Yeah.
Right? Area? Yeah.
And I may have already given myself the bad ending because I went and destroyed something I shouldn't have destroyed.
Oh, no. There's more than one ending in this one?
Yeah, there is.
That's really neat.
So I'm going to see how far
that's
I can get.
That's
too
funny, Megan. You're going to, you're doing really well in that. And that's like, I'm bad at it.
I can count this as being comparable to a downloadable game that you can get for pretty cheap on most systems. Like,
yeah,
it's a very well put together little game.
It is. It's
in a game.
I agree. Like, to be honest, like if you were to buy something like this, you'd probably pay, like, I'm going to say bare minimum, at least like $5.99-ish, right?
Yeah.
Like something $4.99. Like that's what you would probably baseline pay for it. And then you could probably charge more just based on it. But it is like, yeah, I like the mechanics. It has like a really good variety of bosses or a variety of enemies as well.
I'm so upset because this current boss I'm trying to beat, I did beat, and then all the little minions ganged up on me and I didn't get through the next level. I'm so angry about that.
That is pretty harsh, right? Like, Oh, Megan.
But more as that comes up.
I kick you when you're down.
Yeah. And we also ended up getting Stardew Valley.
Yeah, which I've wanted for a while because...
Well, you've played it before, right?
I have played quite a bit of it before. On my Mac/PC, like, I've also played on a multiplayer mod. That's also how I mostly played it. Like, this was before it has official multiplayer, which it does now, which is really nice. But I like to play modded Stardew Valley because they have a fishing mini game that I'm really bad at and I just don't enjoy it. And it would just let me auto do that. As well, I had a mod that made all my villagers furries and I loved it. I'm not going to lie.
See, modding is a good thing and we should actually talk more about modding in the future episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Mods are hilarious sometimes.
Sometimes.
But yeah, I really like Stardew Valley. Very much it is a Harvest Moon-like game, but then it also throws in a bunch of other stuff that Harvest Moons don't have, which is like being gay and monster hunting.
Although you could get that with Rune Factory.
Yeah, I know, but Rune Factory also you can't be gay. So, like, I don't... Well, here's the thing. There is a furry husband in Rune Factory 4. I know this.
I don't count it.
He's a furry. He counts somewhat, Megan.
Wow. Anyway, so Stardew Valley. I'm notoriously known for not enjoying Harvest Moon games.
Really?
Because I get so bored with them after a while.
That's understandable. This one, I think, has, or it tries to do a bunch of stuff to keep you involved. Like, they do have your typical little things that you're supposed to do quest-wise, but this also has an overarching story, which I know I skipped through when I started my Switch version, but you watched it, which is very much like there's a evil Cola Corporation. You know about that?
I accidentally skipped it too.
Oh, that's all right.
I ended up in the office, and next thing I knew, I pressed a button and I'm suddenly on this farm.
And you're like, I have a farm now. That's okay. It's basically you have to have the farm or else, and if you don't succeed with your farm, the evil Coca-Cola, JoJo Cola company is going to take over. So, and it's also very interesting because you very much can, like, lose this game. Like, you can lose.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. There's an overarching, like, plot sort of thing where you are sort of trying to retake this from this evil capitalist. And, yeah, like, if you've noticed in the game, there is, like, a convenient, or I guess a supermarket store, like the... Right?
I just thought the guy running it was a schmuck, so...
Yeah, or a creep, yeah. He's sort of the antagonist of the game. And you can very much, like, lose by sort of either quitting or joining him. You can like, join him, I'm pretty sure. But
wait, is that the only way that you can lose, is by quitting or joining him?
I'm not sure, Megan. I don't know why you're like, I already killed all of the other NPCs. Am I going to lose the game now?
No, because yes. I keep trying to get rid of trees and rocks and stuff. If I'm supposed to be concentrating on a goal here, already doomed myself, I want to start ahead of time.
Yeah, no, you're good. No. Okay. No, you haven't. That's so funny. You're like, I've been picking up rocks for the past 20 days.
And you tell me I'm supposed to be fighting an evil corporation when all I've been doing is picking up rocks?
Yes.
And wild parsnips?
Yeah, you're like, can I stop him with these?
If I throw enough at him, will he go away?
Yes. It's sort of an overarching. Like, I will say, there's another thing that's supposed to happen 3 years in to the game. Like, three-year cycles. So, and I will say, it doesn't take that long to go through a day or a month. It is a time sinker of a game, like most video games, I feel. Like, I don't know, but...
This one, you're just more aware of it because there is a clock in the background.
True. Like, each day, yeah, I don't know how long, I'm not going to do that for you, but every 10 minutes is 10 seconds in our real lifetime. And it's a pretty good game. Like, I feel it's not very punishing, which is really nice, especially if you are a newcomer to this kind of game. I have also heard, like, nice stories about how Stardew Valley inspired people to, like, get mm-hmm. their own farms.
Which, that's nice.
Yeah, because they just enjoyed this sort of life so much that they were like, man, I want to do it in real life, which is really interesting.
Now, have they succeeded is the next question. Probably because if you're committed enough to take up farming with a video game, I've got faith in you that you can keep up with a real farm.
Well, to be honest, like...
You get to see your results in real life.
Stardew Valley, like, it is a little bit of a slog, but it does sort of, like, advance things as in terms of, like, it does have a crafting mechanic.
It does I have made a scarecrow.
That's a good thing to make, because the crows are mean and will eat all of your food, and then you'll have nothing to sell. But, yeah, it's just sort of your basic, your grandpa gives you a farm, and the people... Except I feel it is kind of nice because you can also help the people, like, in the place. And I feel they're all sort of, interestingly enough, they are affected by the JoJo Cola Corporation, which is neat. Like, and some of them even work there, but at the JoJo Corp, I don't know what it's called. But, yeah, it's a fun game. I honestly really enjoy it.
Really, I just want to go and date that poet because he reminds me of the Eighth Doctor.
Oh, no, Megan.
Yeah. Well, I like them Byronic heroes.
I guess so.
They're terrible.
Elliot is the one Megan's talking about. I've never succeeded in wooing anybody because I'm too busy. Like, even now in my game, I'm currently in summer, and I have hardly talked to anybody because I'm sort of like I want to get on track with my farm before I start any shenanigans with humans.
That's, you know, responsible.
It is. I want to take care of my chickens first, you know, not die in the mines, get to level 100 in the mines. Then I'll get back to, you know, the rest of what I'm supposed to do.
Now, if we want to take a step back for a moment to another game that we had been playing, we put down for a little while.
What game?
Because speaking of creating things, Smash Brothers has come out with a new feature and new character.
Just one.
One. So Smash Brothers now has a level creator.
Yeah, well, I feel this is part of the DLC. No, this isn't part of the DLC, but Joker specifically is. So they came out with a new character, which we sort of had heard about.
We knew he was coming for a long time.
Joker from Persona 5. Yeah. And by that, I mean the antagonist of Persona 5.
No, he's the protagonist.
Whatever, that's what I meant.
The antagonist is the enemy.
Sorry, yeah, I don't know why I just said that.
He is not good, though. He's kind of good.
He's anti-hero.
He's anti-hero. There we go.
He's a Robin Hood character. Is he not?
Yeah, he is a Robin Hood character.
I don't know. Anyway. What I've seen. I've never played the game. I just watched it. He's the bad guy. No, I'm just joking. He's a good guy.
So Joker is now a playable character in Smash Brothers, if you haven't heard already.
You have to buy that DLC,
though. You do. But you can also build your own levels.
For free.
And you...
Yeah. It's really... I think it's neat. We haven't gotten to it, but there looks... So it's basically you can build your own levels. And you can download, obviously, other people's levels. It looks pretty interesting. It looks like there's quite, like, an amount of, like, creativity allowed in it.
Yeah. Well, one of the ones I've seen so far is Mario Spicy Meatball, which I find hilarious because there is this big fireball thing going towards Mario and a warp pole that if you get sucked into it, you get digested by Mario. This giant pixelated Mario.
That's pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty hilarious. And
I don't like those warp holes.
And people are having a lot of fun with this. There's someone who also did the... was it the final scene of Neon Genesis Evangelion?
It's from the movie.
From the movie?
Like the end of Evangelion, if you know what I'm talking about. It's like that head sticking out. If you've seen the movie Mother! Exclamation point, one of the posters for that directly referenced it. I'm like, that's a little out there as far as like you know what Mother! Exclamation point is. But yeah. There's a bunch. It looks neat. Like, I don't know how functional these levels are. Probably some more than others.
I think they have to follow the Mario Maker rules where you have to actually prove that it is a functional level before it gets
Put through. Can your person walk on this? Yes, it's fine.
It's not just like insta-kill for everybody. No, you are good to go. You can play this.
Yeah.
It looks good, and we'll come back to you with more on that because I want to see more of that.
Yeah, even like to check out Joker as well. Like, I don't know what's involved with that DLC. Like, I would assume... Actually, the fact that you get, like... I think it's, like, 5 different levels looks pretty cool. Like, or 3 different levels. There's an amount that you get with Joker.
You have the Persona 5 level. Then you've got 3 and 4, which have their own unique music and color schemes.
No, okay. So that's one level, Megan. And you can change it. Yeah, based on. So it's one level and you can change it based on the video games and you can change the background music and sort of the colors based on the other two there's more Persona games, but based on 3 and 4 specifically. So with 3 you get sort of that blue and the baby. And then you get the Persona 4 one, which is like yellow and stuff. And then you get the Persona 5 one, which is red. And they're all sort of similar levels, they're just sort of different. Well, they're the exact same level. They're just sort of reskinned.
Honestly, I would just stick it on blue all the time just so I could just fight to baby.
Yeah, you know what? I like the fact that they added that. Like, it's really nice, and it especially, like, will please a bunch of people who like all the Personas, which I think people really like number 5, so Yeah.
There you go.
That's all I really have to say about that. Yay for Joker.
Woo. All right. And we do have a couple more things to tap on. Okay.
Video games.
So we were looking at the previews for Heaven's Vault, which we touched on last week.
Yeah, I do want to pick it up. It's for PlayStation 4 and Steam, I believe. And it very much deals with, like, you are a paleontologist, archaeologist. Linguistic archaeologist. Yeah. And you're basically, you have to look at different things and, like, discover a language and try to translate these different words, which is really cool. Like, I like it because I really liked that kind of exploration game as a kid. Like, it's a puzzle, but it's also like, I'm learning, you know?
Yeah, it's a very, very cool concept that we're going to pick up again and check it out.
I would like to check it out. I think it's cheaper for PlayStation Plus members. Of course it is. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, PlayStation. Not really.
I'm the one who bought the PlayStation.
And Megan. And Megan. Mostly Megan.
Mostly me. So, yeah, we'll check that out and come back to you with a full review on that.
Yeah,
and
I would like to see it.
On May 16th, Konami is releasing the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which was... I wonder, when's the next season of Castlevania coming out?
No, like... never, Megan.
Well, this will tide you over until then, I hope.
I doubt it.
So, it gives you the original Castlevania, Castlevania 2 and 3... Super Castlevania, which is 4.
Yep.
Belmont's Revenge and Kid Dracula. And there's a few more in there, too.
Yeah. There's quite a bit. Like, I wonder how much it'll be. It probably won't be... Oh, wait.
It's $20. $20, guys.
That's a really good price, actually.
But,
granted,
for
American.
This is...
Yes.
These are all old games, too. Like,
true.
This is...
But I would say that that's a pretty good collection for... $20.
Yeah.
It is coming out on basically everything, it looks like. PC, PS4, Xbox, and the Switch. And yeah, like obviously it'll be a little more expensive for us pitiful Canadians, but you know, like it's not bad. Well, it's probably 24, maybe. That's not bad.
People are really excited about Kid Dracula because it never made it to America and it was only on Famicom.
Yeah, was it? But it had a like a Game Boy version or something, right? Like, it had a version. I only know this because I saw a preview for it in the back of one of my Archie comics as a child.
But did it actually come out as the thing? Because there's a lot that didn't come out that were promised on the back of comic books.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I know.
I wouldn't know, but I do remember that ad because I liked video games. Because
they advertised, I think, Star Fox 2 as well, and we never got that.
That's pretty harsh.
It is. Lots Archie of promises comics. That never happened.
Well, we got it now.
We do. Yeah, well, we're getting it out on March 16th. No, May 16th. We're already past March at this point.
Yeah.
So May 16th.
Yeah, Kid Dracula, I
Kid
guess.
Dracula. All right.
I guess.
I'm going to check it out anyway. We're going to pick it up. But that's everything we have for you for this week. You guys have yourselves a good rest of the week and keep slacking.
You just know I'm bad at 2D games.
I love my 2D games.
Bye.
You do good at 3D.
It's true.